You're with Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
It's Friday, thank God for that.
Oh, it's fantastic. Good morning, Melbourne.
Good morning. How are you this morning, darling?
Very
well,
thank you.
Did you have a good sleep?
I did. I woke up a few times.
Did you? Yeah. Tossing and turning?
Tossing and turning, yes.
Well,
definitely
we don't want to know about your sex life, but anyway, I had a good sleep.
Look, did you?
Notice how I always ask you just so you can ask me back.
How was your sleep, Anastasia?
I slept like a baby. I did get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, though. But I refused to get out of bed. I just thought, just lay here. So it was nice. I like staying a bit if I know I've got another hour and a half to play around in bed.
Yeah,
don't you?
Just
you get excited, especially when it's cold.
I hate it when you wake up and you're looking, there's half an hour to go till you've got to get up.
Exactly.
Well, what's the point of falling asleep again?
That's right.
How's your Tinder hunting going?
The app thing. I don't know, Warren. This whole instant gratification thing and having chemistry through two mobile devices kind of does my head in a little bit.
And is there chemistry?
There's a lack of connection. Well, the chemistry is basically, it's based on, you're just swiping. So it's really about physicality. It's about whether you like this person or not based on what they look like.
Well,
you've got 500, you have a very small, it's like Twitter to describe yourself. I don't know. It's like cocaine for the mind. You've got so many options that, I don't know, I don't think it suits me, to be quite honest with you.
And the picture may not be real either.
Well, exactly, and that's happened to me before. So, look, I'm going to try to persist with it, but I don't think it's my thing.
I see they've upgraded, or you've got another option now, gold, that can be...
gets rid of all the ads or something,
yeah, apparently it curates a buffet of partners that are waiting to be liked back, so they must have indicated that they like you. I haven't used it, so I don't know. You swipe one way, then you swipe the other.
Swipe left is like not interested, buddy, and swipe right is I might be interested.
Okay, well, apparently this has got super likes.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you really, really
like
someone.
I've been getting all this stuff on my app as well, and I haven't been sure what it means. That's how much I'm not really that into it.
And also a rewind feature, so if you swipe one way and it's the wrong way, you can...
If you change your mind, okay.
Anyway, there's all this sort of stuff, but there was an article in one of the papers this week, and there was one paragraph that I really liked about it. Can I read this to you?
Yeah, of course.
It's tempting to view Tinder as entertainment rather than a means to real-life hookups and relationships. Instead, it might just be a game designed to fill the gaps in life, the lunch breaks and solitary moments with a series of Tamagotchi partners.
Oh, wow.
Who can be switched off when they get annoying.
Yeah.
And I thought that's a really good summary. What you've been telling me about your experience.
I'm sure people get some incredible hookups through Tinder.
Yeah.
It is a great way of meeting people, but I think if you over-abuse this app, it can get you into a lot of trouble, and I do find it a little bit superficial for my liking.
Do you find that when you're on it and you're chatting to people or swiping, do you feel like you're expecting chemistry, but then you don't?
Yeah, and also the other thing about it is that I haven't paid for a subscription. There's so many likes waiting for me, right? But think about, I know that I've been on apps before, if you're not getting any likes, what does that do to your self-confidence?
Yeah, so is it really any different to, say, Facebook?
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I want to connect more.
Yeah, connection is it, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's what we seem to be missing.
Yeah.
Now, here on Anastasia and Warren, we do not condone any illicit drug use. However,
right.
A recent study that has been published in a reputable journal, before you have a go at me.
Not Maryland University.
The Journal of Psychopharmacology. People with the experience of taking psychedelic drugs reported more pro-environmental behaviours.
Wow.
Such as recycling and keeping an eye on their carbon footprint.
That's
and
fantastic.
And many also reported a deeper sense of being close to nature.
Let's take some.
I'm already environmentally conscious.
So there's psychedelic drugs, so I'm guessing they mean kind of like mushrooms and stuff, like trippy stuff.
Yeah, things that...
I'm sure there's a place for that if you're with the right people.
Anyway, so I am already environmentally, I don't take them.
Yes.
Are
you?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, if you're in touch with nature, it's actually called biophilia.
Oh, is it?
And it's our need to every so often...
To connect with a tree. Do you hug trees when you walk past?
I don't hug them.
No? Do you make love to them?
I make love to them in the park and then I get arrested.
They are... Look, it's really nice having your shoes off when you're in the park and just in nature, isn't it?
Isn't it fantastic?
I really connect.
Speaking of taking shoes off, I took my shoes off while doing my squats at the gym.
Oh, my God.
And it was almost...
So you've got the best ass, Warren.
Oh,
I have to say, it's so tight.
I'm going red
now. Is that
now.
What it is, though? Do you go hard on the squats,
on squats and deadlifts. Very hard.
Oh, so that's what it is. It's a deadlift.
But I took my shoes off and I was in touch.
Need to start doing deadlifts with your man boobs.
I was in touch with nature.
Yes.
Because I could feel the floor and it was a really good
experience.
Because
you can't just work on the bottom half of your body. You've got to work on the top as well. You know what I mean?
The bottom's more important. You spend a lot of time in your car.
I spend a lot of time in my car. Might as well just give up on renting and move into it.
I know that because you call me and you're always driving and you're on hands-free, so you're doing the right thing.
Well, no, I am now. I got pulled over by the cops and they said, that's going to cost you $486 for being on your phone, little lady.
Oh, you did too. Yeah, were you on the phone or were you texting?
No, I wasn't really, but I was. Let's not go there.
Got caught out.
I've learnt my lesson. I've got my wireless earphones on now.
What sort of things do you do in your car?
Look, I talk to myself a lot.
Do you?
So if people pull up next to me, they're thinking, who's she talking to? Now, thank God I've got earphones now and they're thinking that I'm talking to someone on the phone. But before I was just having like conversations to Anastasia. I wax my mo. Actually, I don't wax it, but I use the tweezers, especially at the stoplights. Yep. I don't put makeup on because I hardly really wear it.
I'd be the guy blasting you from behind.
Totally.
Because you'd be holding up the traffic. Yep.
I do lots of things. I do. Look, a lot of my thinking time goes into the car.
It is a good space for that, isn't it? Yep. I do a lot of phone calls in the car as well.
What do you do in your car?
One thing that I do that I have to admit that I do is I have a packet of dental floss.
You're kidding.
Because I hate it if I've been out and something gets stuck.
Do you floss in the car?
I have flossed in the car.
You're one of those really annoying people. So what do you do with the floss once you've used it? What do you do with it?
I throw it in a rubbish bin.
Oh, God.
I don't throw it out the window, but I do that.
What else do you do?
I always have my – I make my shakes in the car after the gym, so I do that. I made one once and I was parked outside a supermarket, outside the door, the entrance to the supermarket.
You cook in your car
I don't
as well.
Cook in the car. And I was shaking it, and I was shaking it quite furiously.
Someone would have been thinking something
They
else.
Were. They were watching.
No
and then
way.
I looked around, and, and the top came off, and this milky shake went everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And
I'm grabbing, colour was the milkshake?
It was chocolate, though.
Oh, but my God, that's hysterical.
But you couldn't see it, but I was grabbing tissues frantically and dabbing it up.
That's
and there's these people standing looking in the mirror, pointing at me.
Oh, that would have been in fits.
I was humiliated.
How good would it have been if they used their iPhone and put it on Facebook?
Oh, my goodness. I never go back to that supermarket.
That is really funny.
Thanks, Tess. We were talking earlier about weird things that you do in your car.
I'm actually very good at completely changing my outfit without you being able to see anything in my car. So I just flip the seat back, right, so there's more room. And I just sort of like layer up, layer down. You can't see anything, but yeah, I can go from naked to something on.
How fantastic is that?
You got tinted windows?
Slightly. Probably not enough, but believe me, you can't see anything. I'm very good at it.
Tess. Let's find out where Tess parks.
Thanks, Tess.
We asked the question, what's the weirdest thing that you do in your car? And Pete says, many years ago as a primary school teacher with a drive to and from school, well over an hour, I used to have a pile of homework on the seat next to me, which I'd correct when I pulled up traffic lights. Oh, my God, that's fantastic. And also, we've got another one from the other winner is Fuzzy. He dances in the car, which is fantastic. He busts some good moves. So that's sensational. Congratulations to all to the winners.
Who's that from? Because you said Fuzzy.
Fuzzy? No, that's from Marcello.
Marcello.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
He's won a prize. Over the weekend, I ran into my ex's sisters.
Oh, did you?
They were shopping and near me and we ran in. And I never really got along with them well. Like, we sort of were just lukewarm to each other and it just sort of reminded. But they were all friendly.
What does lukewarm look like?
Like, just, hi, how are you? You know, there was never an interest in each other. And that's okay. There was no interest. Have you ever disliked your partner's family?
Oh, my God, big time. One ex, her father was such a dismissive, rude man. I'd only met him once. Funnily enough, it was the day that we broke up. But he was so dismissive, Warren. The mother was quite lovely. She was overcompensating because he was so rude. No eye contact the whole time that I was sitting down having tea with him. It was so painful. And like I said, he would not look at me, very, very dismissive. And then I realised something. Oh, my God, your daughter is like private school Jemai for a reason. It's because you've made her like this. Because all he did was like, isn't she amazing? Isn't
just
she amazing? So that's all he did was talked about his daughter and she was lapping it up and dismissive to me. And I thought, oh, this is hideous. So thank God that relationship's over. So yes, it's happened before.
I hate it when people don't make eye contact. One of my partner's brothers used to do that to me and he would just never look at me and never engage me in the conversation.
Yeah, you can tell when someone's not making eye contact if they want your body and they're nervous. But you can also tell it's like they don't like it. It's a sign of disrespect
and
as
when you,
well. Like,
and
you're
when,
insignificant. I don't really... I'm not interested in you.
Exactly. And you make an effort to make conversation and they just don't respond and continue to look at the other party. It used to irritate the crap out of me.
Yeah, it's really, really rude. How did you deal with it? Did you break up with him?
Yeah, I did in the end.
Yeah,
I got sick
of
it. Because he'd say, no, it's your imagination.
If your partner's family isn't nice to you, then they've got to deal with their family.
Exactly. Own
up to it. Respect your lover. Hey, you know, I was over yesterday for a short time at your house.
You were.
And I noticed something a little bit strange with Fuzzy.
I thought you were going to say you noticed something a little bit strange.
He was laying on his back. So he's obviously very comfortable with me being over, right?
He is.
But he was sneezing while he was on his back, and I'm thinking, this is very strange.
Isn't it strange?
I mean, look, I've been deprived of animals all my life. I don't know what dogs are supposed to do, but one thing I will say, lying on your back and sneezing was a bit bizarre.
Someone said to me...
To say the least.
Someone said to me a while ago that sneezing means yes for dogs.
Sneezing means
yes. I thought,
yes.
What a load of rubbish. It does not. I thought it was just he's upside down and his, you know, mucus must run back into his nose. Whenever he's on his back wanting a tummy rub, he sneezes.
Right.
I was reading something yesterday that was really interesting, that wild dogs have these things called social rallies, and I wonder if this is what's happening to pets. And what it is when they've all finished resting together, they have these energetic greeting ceremonies before they go off to hunt together.
Hunt together.
But the researchers who did this research... They go for their food. They noticed that the dogs would sneeze a lot more.
You just took me back to Twilight Zone, the movie. Like a bunch of dogs going, yeah, go on.
But they sneeze a lot more when they get together in these social gatherings.
Oh, my God.
And they thought that the researchers thought that they were just clearing their airways. But the more sneezes that occurred, the more likely it was that the pack would move off.
Wow.
So the sneezers in the dog pack were acting as a voting system.
Maybe they're also getting sexually aroused when they're sneezing. Maybe that's the sign.
Maybe that's it too.
Yeah, like...
But what they found was if the dominant dog sneezes, then only a few sneezes were required for the pack to go and eat.
Right.
How's that? That's so they really actually strange. Communicate.
Can we pretend we're dogs after the show and see if it works?
Let's try and communicate.
Because I can sneeze on cue. I'll do it later.
Well, why don't we get Fuzzy and see if we can communicate with you?
I'll lie on
sneezing.
My back with Fuzzy and see what happens.
Anastasia, when you're in bed,
yes.
Do you ever worry about your boobs falling a certain way?
No, I've never really thought about it, no.
Not at all?
No.
Because there's a new support you can get.
Oh, really? A support bra?
A new device? No, it's not a bra. It's for people if you worry about your boobs sagging.
You're not using that training bra I gave you a few weeks ago.
Mine are pecs. It's designed to give support to people with breast implants or large boobs, right? And it nestles directly between them.
So what does it look like?
And it keeps them separated. It sort of looks like, you know what it reminds me of? Okay. It reminds me of, you know when you swim, if you're a swimmer, and you've got those float things you put between your legs?
Oh, yes.
You don't have to kick?
Yeah.
It looks exactly like one of those.
Yeah, how uncomfortable would that be?
I reckon it'd be terrible. Uncomfortable. Yeah. Imagine sleeping with it.
So support for the boobs.
Support for the boobs.
Get online.
I'm going to get one. Hey, there's a lot of negativity in the world at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, if you think of, you know, you've got all the Donald Trump stuff happening, you've got the tornado cyclone over in...
The hurricane, sorry. Yes.
And you've got, you know, all the North Korea stuff happening. And then yesterday we had the, you know, the postal vote going ahead. So there's a lot of stuff. But you know what we're doing to cope, it appears... We're shopping.
Really? I'm eating.
We're shopping. The latest official GDP figures released on Wednesday show 1.6% growth for the retail industry.
Well, I guess that means I am shopping to get the food, right? So I am shopping.
We're shopping to get the food. And also, city analysts are tipping that US retailer Amazon could launch in Australia within 2 months.
Wow.
To capitalise on this spending, and particularly the pre-Christmas spending. And they've confirmed that they've bought a Bunnings store in Melbourne to base their operations out of. So that's what we're doing to cope. We're shopping.
I hate going to Bunnings in the summer, do you?
Oh, I love it. I'd go anytime.
Yeah, but it gets so hot. There's no aircon there. It's just tin. I really feel sorry for the workers in there in summer.
It's great for wasting time, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic for wasting time. I always walk around in the aisles pretending I know what I'm doing.
Are you a shopper?
I have no idea. God, no.
Not at all? You just cope by eating food? Yeah.
How do you cope?
No, I'm probably food too. So maybe our GDP increases in the supermarkets, not
exactly.
In the stores.
Exactly. Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. We've got to start having deeper conversations, although we pretty well do anyway.
If we get any deeper, mate, we're going to put people to sleep. We're so deep, it's ridiculous.
Research has been published in a journal that studies happiness and deep talk, and the research team found that the happiest person in the study had twice as many deep conversations.
Well, there you go.
And only one third the amount of small talk than the unhappiest person.
But you know what? I will say, I meet people all the time, right, as you do.
Yeah.
And... I tell you what, I can tell people that are not interested in deep conversation. I can tell they're rolling their eyes. Maybe some listeners are now. I can feel it.
Or they're distracted. Right? They're on their phones.
But they're not interested in having that deep connection. That's fine. But I'm deep. And I'm sure that can be annoying sometimes.
No, I think it's fantastic. I love a deep conversation.
Yeah. So what's that study saying, that I'm more intelligent than most people?
No. It's saying that you're happier.
Oh, well, there you go, buddy.
Because you're having deep conversations.
Maybe that's because I don't want to suppress anything and I want to talk about it.
Almost every other conversation the happiest person had, about 46% of the day's conversations were substantive.
Well, there you go.
So deep and meaningful conversations. So let's start talking to each other.
Let's start talking.
We're joined in the studio from the Green Institute, Luke Stickles.
Warren, Anastasia, thanks for having
name.
Me.
I can't beat that.
It's a great
Stickles
name.
It's so a weird
cute.
Name, isn't it?
So cute.
Yeah, it's not actually a surname. It's just my surname.
Oh, I love it.
Oh.
Luke Stickles.
Makes me sad and happy at the same time.
Luke, tell us about the Green Institute. What do you do there?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we're an independent think tank. Progressive think tank. So we're funded by the Green MPs who are elected federally, whoever that happens to be, a bit of a rolling door, the last of the law. But we're an independent organisation and we just try to support people to take action on their progressive values and the kind of social change they want to see. So, I mean, what's a bigger topic now than equal marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, our sort of current projects come about by meeting so many different people of faith who are motivated to have equal marriage, and they're kind of like, well, hang on, there's a lot of assumptions being made about the church, you know, like Australian Christian Lobby being the voice of all religious organisations, and you'd be forgiven for thinking that that it's religious organisations that are against equal marriage, but
we're both guilty of it. We're reluctant.
I must confess, I'm not a person of faith at all. And one of the things that I always struggle with is I see someone from the Australian Christian Lobby spouting nonsensical, rubbish. You can't make sense of it. It's completely unsubstantiated stuff. I get angry and then I generalise about faith in general. And, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people do. But if you are someone of faith, how do you reconcile hearing this sort of information, but at the same time, you know, you're looking at your own sexuality and your own beliefs and you're wanting this marriage equality to pass? How do you reconcile that someone is representing you who may not necessarily represent the whole lot?
Yeah, sure. Well, for me, my involvement over the years with the Green Party I've met a lot of people of faith who are motivated to do the right thing and be like a radical good Samaritan, you know, and really do a lot to help people around them. They bring those values for equality and also, you know, like examples of like, you know, different prophets from different religions standing up for the right thing no matter what the dominant power was, no matter what the government of the day said, just doing the right thing. So think about asylum seekers and all the different types of people who need more, you know, who need more justice and more rights and progressive social change to help them. So you're also involved in the Greens. You meet a lot of queer people. So a lot of people who are asking questions about their, you know, like sexual identity, or they answered it 20 years ago and they're just like ready to roll. And when, you know, when someone is a person of faith, but they also have that, sexuality that's, you know, not part of that stereotype of just, you know, straight breeders off they go into the suburbs to have kids and get married, then, you know, it's it can be, I've seen it be traumatising for people. Mm. I mean, we also have fantastic trans active members, and me being part of the Greens has been so much about like normalising for me and challenging my own stereotypes from, you know, my very narrow upbringing. So yeah, it's just it's amazing to see that, and these folks are always just like the strongest. Like once you've told people to sort of shove their expectations and norms, you know, like people are so much freer and more expressive and sort of confident and having sort of broken out like that.
I think one of the things that my point I'm trying to make is it's easy for us to say, oh, look, this is all a load of rubbish. But if you're actually, you know, you believe this, then there is that sort of that feeling of, hang on a second, I'm being represented by someone who doesn't represent how I feel. And I would get extremely frustrated by that. that these opinions are wrong, but they are masking or under the veil of that they're part of my faith.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where I feel for people of faith, because I think, how frustrating would that be?
Well, it's been great to see so many articles come out. So it's almost like it feels like an article a day, because I set up this like Greens of Faith Facebook page, which you can go and check out, and it's just encouraged. And we don't have many followers yet, because I only set it up recently, but we have almost half of our supporters are like, they engage and say, oh yes, thank goodness this has been needing to happen, this connection. So the things like, you know, say the Bible, just take Christianity, the Bible doesn't have much to say. Like, it's highly, highly interpreted, and when you look at stuff where, homosexual activity is like, you know, condemned in the Bible, weird stuff's condemned in the Bible alongside it. Like, you can't go to market on a certain day.
Yeah, but let's pick and choose and what stuff. Suits. Let's
you bet, exactly.
As so, we always do.
So it is interpretation. Exactly right. I completely agree there.
Oh, heaps. Yeah. I mean, comically so. Like, there's so much. And there's been an article every day in the paper on, like, a progressive community leader, like church community leader, coming out and saying, oh, we're with you and we're defying. We might have, like, this hierarchical leadership, telling us to vote no, but actually our whole congregation's with equal marriage.
And then last week we had Anastasia bring the story where allegedly a leader of a church had said that gays should be...
Greek Orthodox Church, yeah, gays should be shot. And it was it was a girl's passing she was also gay. So it was hideous. But when I told my parents, my 80-year-old Greek parents, they go to church every Sunday, they were horrified by that. So, you know, they're believers, they're Orthodox, but they completely support gay marriage.
Now, Luke, you've got an event on. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so tomorrow at midday at Ross House in Flinders Lane.
Love Ross House, by the way.
Amazing, they
Great coffee shop next door, by the way.
Oh, thanks for that tip. Yeah, okay, good. We're having an event where we're asking people from many different faiths to come along and just share their experience of how's this, postal survey conversation that we've started having, which we've seen how toxic it's starting to get, how's that affecting their congregation, and how able do they feel... how able to speak out about their support for equal marriage do they feel in their congregation, and what are some ways we might do that? So if you're out there and you're really supportive of equal marriage and you're from a faith background, I'd love to see you there. It's from midday. You can find our event on Facebook. Just go to the Food for Thought Project Facebook page and you'll find our event there, and you can get in touch with me. Maybe call into the station and I'll leave my details with you, folk.
Fantastic. Awesome. Luke, thanks for coming into Joy.
Mr. Luke Stickles.
That was deep as.
Love it.
Thanks, Luke. The only legal brothel left in Queensland has had to shut down because business is down 40%, and they're blaming it on apps such as Tinder.
Oh, my God.
And they tried to sell the business but were unsuccessful.
Well, maybe they can get some business on Tinder.
Maybe. You need a new bed.
I do need a new bed.
Maybe.
Have you ever been to a brothel?
Grab one. No.
Okay, so you wouldn't be able to tell me what their beds would be like.
No.
Because I bet they'd be nice and comfy for sure.
They probably would be. They're probably protected.
Yeah, I really need a new bed. It's so uncomfortable. And I'm just doing some research now. And it depends on how you sleep, darling. Because, you know, that whole firm or soft thing. And now, are you a soft boy or a firm guy, a mattress?
In between.
Okay.
I like it in between.
So how did you know, when you went and bought your bed, did you jump on it?
I chose the bed shop with the cutest sales assistant.
Really?
And then I lay on the bed.
Oh, my God.
And then I said, I don't understand. Can you come a bit closer?
Have you ever hooked up with someone that's got a futon?
I have, yeah.
And how bad was it?
I didn't like it.
It's like having sex on a yoga mat.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the point?
But I get confused buying beds because they all seem to, like, the model is different in every shop, but it's the same brand, and I reckon it's a setup. Yeah. I'm sure they're just the same.
I do like a firm bed, though. Some people like really soft, but I do like a firm. One thing I will say, though, my neighbours upstairs, Warren, I'm getting to the point where I want to move out now. They are at it all the time, so I've got to make sure that I don't get a squeaky bed. It's so, so loud.
Oh, maybe they're delivering. Really doing it. They're not on a futon, are they?
No, I think they're just happy, darling. Maybe I'm miserable because I'm not getting any.
According to a survey conducted by a plastic surgery group, patients with smaller sized nipples were rated to be more attractive than their larger nippled counterparts.
Have you got little ones or big ones?
Oh, no, average ones. What about you?
Mine are really beautiful, actually.
Are they?
Would I say anything else?
What's more? They'd seen a 30% rise in women requesting smaller nipple size in the last year.
What? What's wrong with a big nip?
But apparently a way you can do it without having to have surgery is by tattooing.
Oh my God, what a great idea. Let's put a tattoo around an imp.
They tattoo it and create whatever you want, but it's not...
Oh, that kind of sounds sexy.
The only
maybe
problem
a flower.
Is, maybe
the nipple can be like the... Oh, that's gorgeous.
The only problem is it needs to be...
Getting a little bit turned on now.
It needs to be...
Because nipples are such a beautiful thing, aren't they, Warren?
They are.
Have you ever had nipple rings?
I have had
this
one.
It's becoming a sex show.
I have had
I'm
one.
Love stuff.
But I had to take it out.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, really? Why?
I kept getting infected for some reason.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but it did. But yeah, I have got it now.
You just killed
Didn't
my,
kill the
my
sensitivity,
drive.
Though, that's for sure. The late British pop singer George Michael has returned to the airwaves.
I know, and he hasn't, he's not alive. He hasn't returned from the dead. Let's just, I wish.
We've got a remix of his 1987 solo track that was broadcast on BBC Radio yesterday.
Yeah.
Released online more than 8 months after he passed away.
I know,
away.
I got really depressed this morning because I was on the tram and I got an email from my, because I'm on their list, the George Michael list, and I read it and got so emotional because he's just someone I still really miss.
He's probably the most important artist for you, isn't it?
He's the most influential. Yeah, absolutely. I love him.
There's different feedback. Some people are saying, what a brilliant song, great hearing him sing again. And then there's also some people saying, oh, the new George Michael song still sounds unfinished.
Wow.
So maybe...
Well, shall we leave it to the listeners to make up their mind?
Yeah, let's do that. Here it is, the remake of Fantasy.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
You love me, the next you tell me you don't. One day you say you will, but the next you tell me you won't. Hey little baby, there ain't much point me hanging around, yeah.
Can you wanna love me?
One day you make me feel that your love is in my hands. One day you say you'll stay, but the next you're changing your plans. Hey little baby, there ain't much point in hanging around. It's kind of funny that you think that I'm the boy to make you cry. I can make you happy if only for a while, little baby. Oh, little baby, I can give you all the loving that your heart desires. If you ain't got time for me, I'll find another fantasy. Could be the price of love, could be the price of hate. What am I guilty of? Why do you make me wait? So long I don't know your intentions. Look to the skies above, I'm in the hands of fate. Push till I get to shore, I've got to know for heaven's sake. Is this love? Is this love or invention?
Baby, can't you say
I'll find another fantasy?
To make you cry, I can make you happy.
Time for me.
Joy 94.9.
That's it for us.
I know. Another week gone. We're back next week, though, on Monday.
Back
how
on
exciting
Monday,
is that?
6:30 a.m. What
hey,
are you up to?
Now, we want you, before I tell you what I'm up to, I really want people to keep in touch with us on the weekend on our Facebook page. Type in Anastasia and Warren. Lick us and like us, please, because it's all about our ego. And you can find out what we're up to when we're not on the airwaves. And we get to find out more about you as well. That's really important. Now,
absolutely.
What are you up to? You're going to the snow, aren't
I am
you?
I'm going to go skiing again.
You're very excited.
Can't wait
about
to get up
it.
There
I know,
again.
It's so good. I'm going to one of my best friend's book launch tonight.
Oh, wow.
She's amazing. She won the Miles Franklin Award 2 years ago, and I used to call it the Ben Franklin Award. Now you can tell that I don't read. So her book is called The Choke, and it's launching tonight, and I'm going to be there.
You're going to be one of the
showing
stars.
Off, sipping on my cocktail.
We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
See you, Dallas.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.